This is Digital Story Podcast number 541, July 17th, 2016. Today's theme is Coffee Break with Moose Peterson. I'm Derek Story. If someone asked you, what would you rather do this morning? Tackle that big writing project that you've been procrastinating on? Or have Moose Peterson stop by to shoot the breeze? Well, I can tell you what my answer was. And I turned on the recorder to share the conversation with you. So listen in, because that's the top story on today's TDS podcast. When Brad Pitt has a new movie out, chances are good that he'll make an appearance with Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show. And when Moose Peterson is in town putting the finishing touches on his new MP backpack series for Mindshift Gear, the odds are I can get him to come by my studio for a morning chat. After all, I'm only about 5 minutes away from Think Tank headquarters. So sure enough, both Moose and his wife, Sharon, joined me for coffee recently. And we sat around a big table here at the studio, and I fired up the audio recorder, and I just set it down right there in the middle of all of us. Because what I wanted was you to feel like you were there, like you were listening in on this conversation with Moose and me. So Moose has this terrific new backpack that's a collaboration between the Petersons and Mindshift Gear. It was just announced yesterday, and I thought, okay, you could read about it in a press release, or you could hear Moose describe it himself. And that's what we're going to do right here. So I'll open up the conversation with a little bit of chit-chat with Moose, because I had a couple things I wanted to ask him about, and you'll find out. Like, I wanted to find out what he thought about drones. I know. I was just being mischievous, but I couldn't help it. And then we'll get into the backpack itself, and then I'll come back and we'll do a wrap. We're going to talk about some backpacks in a minute. I know you've been working with Think Tank Photo and the guys over at Mindshift Gear. Before we do that, you know, for the few people, the 8 people in the audience that aren't familiar with your work, been doing a lot of stuff for a lot of years. I know you're an Nikon ambassador. Could you just give us like the 10,000 foot overview of how you became such an icon in outdoor photography?
An icon that I have survived. It started back in 81. And along with my wife Sharon, we have been very fortunate to travel all of the North America, and in that period of time have put about 3 million images in the files between conventional slides and digital. Our work has, still continues to be, with endangered critters, but our photographic interests and our life interests have broadened a little bit. Now we're doing a lot of aviation work, not just photographing aircraft, but working a lot with World War II vets, getting their stories recorded and getting those stories out along with the aircraft that provided us the freedoms that we can sit here and enjoy the photography we do, and the ability to travel as much as we can and see so many amazing wonders here in our country.
So being interested in aviation, do you have any interest in drone photography at all? Or does that to you just like a whole separate sort of thing?
I'm not a big drone fan. Using it to solve a certain problem, maybe, but just to do it, it's not my shtick. You know, you have the ability to fly in World War II warbirds and the real helicopters. It's kind of like, why would you want to play with a drone when you right. can actually be in the machine itself?
Exactly.
So, yeah,
exactly.
I'm very fortunate in that regard.
Yeah. So I know way back when, something like 1998, you had this idea, this design idea called the Moosier for backpack, right? Here we are, fast forward to where we are now. And you're working with the folks at Think Tank Photo, and you're working with Mindshift Gear, and some of these design ideas that you've had now are kind of coming to fruition in 3 backpacks that you're working on. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about how that happened. How do you go from having an idea and, you know, maybe talking to some other folks to actually getting to the point where you find a company that resonates, you know, with your design aesthetic and actually get this thing produced?
Well, I've, as the folks over at Mindshift Think Tank will say, I'm a bad guy. I used to backpack and design backpacks back in the day, and I'm talking about in the 60s and 70s. So then I got a photography, needed to get my long lens from point A to point B safely and then be able to operate with that long glass. And since a lot of the travel is done in commercial airplanes, getting that gear and putting it in the overhead and not in the belly of the plane was essential. So back in the mid-90s, I came up with the MP1, which is our bag. And first of all, just the bags all have odd numbers, the 1, the 3, and the 7. And the reason why they have odd numbers is because I'm odd. And the need we had was odd. It's not a standard kind of need photographers getting their gear someplace. So then we came out with the MP1, and it was out and sold for many, many years and was sold incredibly well. And then, like a lot of companies, when we lost our free labor, which means our sons went off to college, the shipping department closed. And with that, the bag slowed down. And it was just last 3 months, I've only been home 16 days. So carrying on the bag line wasn't feasible. And Doug over at Think Tank Mindshift, along with Lily and Mike, we have a long history of designing bags together long before Think Tank ever was and before my MP bag series was ever conceived. And so it was just kind of natural. Sharon reached out and said, hey, and Doug said, hey, and here we have it. We have the version 2, which is a vastly superior product of my original design. So we're very excited to see it come back out here.
Back to your, is it boys? How many? One?
Yeah, two boys.
Two boys.
Brent and Jake, yeah.
Brent and Jake.
Jake is a very successful still photographer. And
cool.
Brent is a very successful videographer and graphic designer. So
it's interesting that they kind of stayed in the family business, isn't it?
Yeah, it was never the plan, and long beyond mom and dad's advice what not to do in life. But they're very successful, very proud of them. They've already made their mark at a young age. I mean, they already have their new versions of photo packs and since they used to ship the old ones, they were my first critics to go over all the fine points, and they actually love the everything Mindshift has done to the bag and completely brought it up to 21st century. So it was very gratifying to have sons who were in the business can also be critics and also very supportive.
Yeah, and have some knowledge about what's good and what isn't.
A lot of knowledge,
know. How is it when you're, so you have something that was sort of your baby, the MP1, and then now you're working with a company, right? Even though they're a good company that are totally photography-centric, they really understand photography, they're photographers themselves, but still, it's your baby in the hands of other people. How did that process go?
Well, it's not, you say it's a company, but Think Tank and Mindshift, Sharon and I are not a company. They're all friends. One of the really great things about photography is the long established friendships that just simply working hard, you tend to succeed. And it's great to see Doug and Mike and Lily after, we were trying to figure it out. We probably started working together probably around 92, 93. So it's almost, we got over our 20-year history together.
Yeah.
So I didn't, relinquish anything over to strangers. They're all good friends. And Doug was insistent on keeping my three-flap design, keeping that not only alive, but improving it with modern materials, which weren't available when I originally designed the bag. It's been a absolutely marvelous collaboration. Every time the next iteration of the bag came, I'm just like, wow, I would never, simple little things like the brown accent, which makes the bag look so distinctive. Yeah, it doesn't look like any kind of photo bag. It has this great new foam, which is, some name that's over my head, but it's very thin, but very dense and provides a ton of protection. The really amazing design they did with the shoulder straps. You have full support shoulder straps. You have a complete waist belt if you want to use it for a full suspension backpack ride, but complete comfort and care for your gear. So I didn't, the bag was in incredibly good, capable hands. The design for all three of them speaks of it.
So what are some of your, absolute favorite things about this bag? I mean, because this is a bag that, has been with you for a long time. You've used it, and I'm guessing that putting it up, in overheads, and I mean, I bet you there's some things that when this happens, you go, I really like this bag. What are a couple of those things that really get you excited?
Well, one thing about the MP1 version 2 that I love is the fact that I can go on any plane with confidence in knowing that my gears can go overhead. It slips right in and slips right out. the flight attendant always will give you a look at you and I'll board and you can always tell they're watching you.
Yeah.
And the bag will slip right in. It's very deceptive. It meets the standards as far as the measurements. You know, you do mm-hmm. the X, Y, and all that good stuff. But, you know, you look at the bag, it just looks like, nah, it's not going to fit. And it just slips in like a glove. It's got a simple handle on the side. You pop it out. So when you're leaving, you can just easily grab it, put it on your shoulder, and go. So my bag, which has my 800 and bodies and lenses in it, having that confidence that it's just going to go up there, it's right over my head, it's not in the belly of the plane. And then when I get off the plane, it's quick and easy, I can go, even if it's a tight connection. That's a big thing.
It is a big thing. You know, and it doesn't have a lot of dangly stuff.
It doesn't.
You know, and that's a big deal, I think, isn't it?
The straps and all the stuff are kept at a minimum, but the shoulder strap system that Doug came up with is absolutely ingenious. The way you have padding, so it's comfortable to wear. It has full strength and support for all your gear, but those flaps, you can actually totally tuck it away and it adds no height to the bag. So you have all that suspension, all that comfort, and it still goes in the overhead. And then for myself personally, I've always slung it over just one shoulder, so yeah. One strap is tucked away. So then there's nothing that's grabbing on the latches of the overhead yeah. or anything else. It's in and out. When you're out shooting and when you're having to travel, the last thing I want anybody to have is stress about their gear. You know, you've got enough on your mind. It's knowing that your gear is going to get there safely is just a peace of mind that's worth any price.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Tell me about the three compartment system, because this is an idea that's been around for a while too with you.
I came up with the three compartment idea. We have what we call the long lens compartment, where you put your 4, 5, 6, or 800 millimeter lens. Any of those lenses, except for 800, you actually have your body attached to the long lens, so you can quickly pop it out and go right to work, which is,
that's
for
nice.
Some places, very important. Got that fast-moving critter, especially if like you're in Africa. Pop it out, pop it in, keeps it dust-free. And that's kind of the idea of the three flaps, is you can keep your gear easily accessible, but it's protected from the elements. You know, if, for example, the one flap, big clamshell kind of bag, you open it up to get one thing out, everything's exposed.
Yep.
And I don't know about any other wildlife photographer, but for myself, Murphy's Law says something's great happening. It's going to be windy, dusty, or rainy. So with that scenario, I want to get that piece of gear out, minimize my exposure to the rest of the gear, and close it back up. So the flaps, the way they are designed, two things. One, it adds structural integrity to the whole bag. And then the other thing is the fact they're on that center seam, they'll just close behind themselves. The one example I like to show people is quite often I'm working somewhere where it's cold, I have gloves on. Be it butterfingers or the fact that I can't walk and chew gum at the same time, whatever it is, sometimes a piece of gear will slip out of my hand and hits the bag. So the flap will close majority of the time before that happens. So it's gonna hit the top of the foam rather than a piece of a gear down below.
Nice.
So all of those things, protecting myself from myself as well as protecting the gear from the environment, is how I came up with that original design.
I like it. These bags are available now, aren't they?
They are in the country. They are good to go. You can order them and have them instantly in your hands.
And it's what? Mindshiftgear.com, right?
Yep, exactly.
That's where you go there.
Yep. Look for the Moose bag or the Moose pack or the MP1. You can't miss them. There's three sizes.
Yeah, let's talk about just like what size is perfect for what type of shooter or what type of assignment probably is more appropriate.
You know, there are three sizes for a couple reasons, and they're all pretty self-centered. They're what I needed for my own stuff.
That's the way to do it, right?
You know, so yeah. Since I designed the bag, why not? So the MP1, that's the bigger of the three. It has the compartment that you can put a 4, 5, 6, 800 millimeter, the long lens compartment. Mm. Okay, and then you can put a couple bodies and a whole lot of other lenses in the other short lens compartments. And I recommend you watching either the video on the site or the packing videos on my own website, moosepearson.com, and you can see how I put it in there. The other thing about the MP1 that's kind of cool that a lot of people did with the original one is a lot of large format cameras.
Oh.
Would put their long lens and rails and stuff in the long lens compartment. Mm-hmm. They can easily take that and all their film holders very easily located.
Nice.
So with all the dividers that are there and the old days we called the Buffalo Nap, that there's Velcro sticks too, you can completely customize the interior of the bigger bag to carry a lot of stuff.
Nice.
People with big red cameras, for example, they can put three big red cameras in that long lens compartment. Mm-hmm. and away they go. Think of the price tag of that bag.
Yeah.
Anyway, right?
Right.
Then you get down to the MP3.
Yeah.
And MP3 was, in my mind, always like the 200 f2, 300 f2.8 with a lens bag for doing what I would, in my mind, portrait work or big game photography.
Okay.
And then the smallest one is the MP7. And that bag is like the body with a 7200 or 8400. So in the world of aviation, for example, the MP7 would be the great one to put your gear in it, go to the air show, work on assignment. It's small, it fits anywhere, anything. And it, with those flaps at an air show, you can quickly grab your gear. It's gonna close, so all the dust and stuff from the air show ain't gonna get in your bag. Very accessible. Now, all three bags come with the signature Think Tank MindShift rain shell. Which, just to keep people an idea, people think of it for rain. For example, when I'm on an ATV, I'm using that shell to keep the dust from getting on. I mean, a bag is still a bag, and dust is still dust. So I put that rain shell in the bag to keep the dust out, Safari and Africa. Then you carefully pull it off, right, because dust is still stuck to that stuff, and then shake it off away from the bag, and then you keep it out of your bag.
That's a great tip. That's a great way to close right here. Well, fantastic. So go over, take a look at these bags. I've got one right here I'm looking at. I got to tell you, these things are cool. And I really appreciate you coming by the studio here and hanging out for a bit.
Well, Derek, thanks for having us.
Yeah, all right.
Appreciate it.
Moose Peterson, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, sir. Be well.
All right, that was very fun. And thanks to Moose and Sharon for coming by. By the way, you didn't hear Sharon in the conversation, but she took the picture of Moose and I that I'll run with the story. And that was a lot of fun, too, because I handed her a film camera. And she was looking at it. I was like, what are you giving me here? But she took a fabulous shot. She's a very, very good photographer. And it was great to have her there. And she's got really good energy. You know, she sort of filled the room with a very nice vibe. But anyway, I really enjoyed that. Now, I put a link to the whole Moose Peterson backpack series in the show notes. And if you click on that link, it'll take you directly to the page. You don't have to hunt around for stuff. You don't have to go looking and all that. So if you just want a shortcut to these backpacks, and you really do need to take a look at them, they're really cool. I love the way that you can get your gear in one compartment and not get the other stuff wet or dusty or all that. And they really are made for travel. They really are made for overhead bins and under seats and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he put years of thought in it before he brought it to MindShift, and then they worked on it and took it to another level. So it's pretty exciting stuff. And to have him describe the launch of his three new backpacks. All right, let's move on. In the news, Lightroom Mobile 2.4 is wildly impressive. And if that headline sounds familiar to you, that's one that I wrote because this news story is from The Digital Story. And I really wanted to talk about it on the podcast this week. When I first fired up Lightroom Mobile 2.4 on my iPad Mini 2, which is not a new iPad by any stretch of the imagination, I was crossing my fingers going, I hope this works. Because what does it have? It has raw processing for a whole bunch of cameras. And it has localized adjustments. And I have an iPad that's a couple years old. So I'm going, all right, you know, is this going to be something just for the new hardware? So anyway, I fired it up and I put a memory card in my Lightning card reader, inserted into my iPad, brought that raw file in, opened that raw file up in the new Lightroom 2.4, and it opened right away. And I started editing and there was no lag at all. It just went boom, 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 just right through it. It was fabulous. It was so cool. So now the Android devices have had this raw editing for a bit, but with Lightroom 2.4, it's now with iOS too. And Android got some other stuff with Lightroom 2.4. They got a whole lot of camera stuff for taking pictures and extra controls and stuff. Really nice also. If you're an Android user, you're probably smiling right now. But if you're an iOS user, you're probably smiling too because this raw decoding is great. And then the localized adjustments, what I was doing mostly with it was gradient screens. So helpful, though. So helpful to have that functionality right there on your iPad. All right, so now I'm a little ahead of myself. Let me back up just a bit. So this is upgrade for Lightroom mobile users, which means you have to be part of Creative Cloud for all this synchronization to happen. So if you're a Creative Cloud member and you're using Lightroom mobile, this is for you. And really what it means is that now, while you're traveling with just your mobile device, just your iPad, tablet, your iPhone, or your Android device, you can shoot RAW on either platform now. You can shoot RAW. You can edit it with all those tools that are in Lightroom Mobile. And then all of that work that you do on your iPad is saved to your Creative Cloud account. And then it's available on Lightroom Desktop when you get back to your home or to your studio or wherever you happen to be. It's just there. It's like iCloud and any of that stuff. And so then the real trick was, all right, so I did this editing with Lightroom Mobile on my iPad mini, and then I wanted to see how it looked on my Mac. It looked great. It looked great. So here I am looking at it on a 13-inch Retina display on my Mac, and the image looks like I edited on my Mac, not on my iPad. The whole system just worked. It was fast, and even though I had older hardware, it still just went zoom. It just went zoom. it really did. So I think this is a big deal. I was really impressed by it. This is one of the things that I've been waiting for on the Lightroom side for it to really reach its promise on our mobile devices. And I can tell they've worked hard on this and they did a great job. And so those of you that are Lightroom users, those of you that have Creative Cloud accounts, and those of you that like mobile computing, for instance, only want to take your tablet or your phone on vacation and not your laptop, you can shoot RAW now. Make sure you get yourself a way to move those files around. You can do it via Wi-Fi. I think the Lightning card reader is a nicer way to go. I really like the Lightning card approach. Regardless of what you use, this setup is terrific. So two big thumbs up for Lightroom 2.4 for iOS, and I'm guessing it's pretty darn good for Android also. All right, update. The second episode of the Nimble Photographer podcast is now live. This is probably one of my favorite shows of the first season of the Nimble Photographer. It's called Baggage. And what I have are four stories that I read and talk about related to camera bags and my life with camera bags and my experiences and all that good stuff. And, you know, when you really get down to it, camera bags are in the DNA of the Nimble Photographer because the smaller equipment means we can have smaller bags, which means then we can really get bags that we want. So the second episode, Baggage, is now posted on season one of the Nimble Photographer. It's available to all of our Patreon members. There's a link in the show notes that'll take you to the Patreon page. There's a snippet on the Patreon page from the Nimble Photographer podcast, the snippet for the Baggage episode. You might want to listen to it. It's a lot of fun. Thanks to all the folks that signed up this week and are now patrons of the Digital Story, Nimble Photographer, and Analog Story. So appreciated, really so appreciated, and I hope you enjoy the second episode in season one of the Nimble Photographer. Baggage, like I said, is one of my favorite shows of the season. Real camera stores. So I started this thing in Chicago when I went to Central Camera Company, which I have had a fondness for this place since, I guess, my 20s, the first time I went to Chicago, the first time I discovered this camera store. It's on Wabash. And so I go, you know, this is such a cool thing. I need to write about it. So I started this series on the Analog Story called Real Camera Stores. And Central Camera Company was the first one, and then we've had two more. I have a list that has some more candidates on it. But the reason why I'm bringing it up now is that if you're one of those lucky people who have a real camera store in your neighborhood or in the next city over that you can drive to or take the train to and enjoy and get your stuff. And what's in a real camera store? Well, obviously, current cameras, current accessories, But then what makes it a real camera store is you get into things like lighting, like cool camera bags, darkroom supplies, analog cameras, film processing. You know, that kind of stuff. The stuff that a real camera store would have. The stuff that you want to just go in there and just browse for a half an hour. Just walk up and down the aisle and say, wow, that's cool. How could I use that? Do I need that? I probably don't need it, but I want it. That is a real camera store. A real camera store is not some kiosk in your local mall that has, you know, the latest Canon, the latest, I don't know, Nikon, the latest Sony, and that's it. Maybe a couple picture frames, you know, memory cards, a few batteries. That is not a real camera store. That is a mall camera store. I'm talking about a camera store that has the stuff that we really want to look at. All right. If you have one of those that you think deserves some recognition, if you could, send it to me. Send me a blurb about it or send me a link if they have a website. If you have a picture that you took of it, even better. I love that. I love having, you know, the real shots from the customers. And then I will put it in the queue for running on the analog store. And what I want to have is I want to have this list of real camera stores all across the U.S. where people know about these things. And if they go to those cities or if they're near that city, they can frequent it. They can go in there. They can shop. Because if we can keep these real camera stores around, we all benefit. We all benefit to be able to walk in somewhere where they have people that know photography and have the kind of gear that real enthusiasts want to look at, want to purchase. We all benefit. So anyway, if you got something, send it to me because I'm going to keep working on this. I'm going to keep adding these things. And I would like, after a year or so, to have a nice long list of real camera stores throughout the U.S. that we all know about, and hopefully we all will stop by when we're in that area. Updates and such. Just a couple little things here before I sign off for the day. So, let's see here. The Apple's photo book, I'm working on that right now. I'm working on an update to the Apple's photo book. The ebook is available at this moment. Everything in the ebook is absolutely current. It is. What I'm working on is the stuff for later on. And then if you have the ebook, you put on a list and you're offered the updated ebook at a discounted price. So you don't lose anything at all. And there'll also be a paper book later on this year. So we're working on all that. But if you want the book right now, the Apple's Photos Book for Photographers, covering photos for macOS, go to rockynook.com or go to the link here in the show notes, download it. And if you use Apple 15, that's the code, APPLE15, you can get it for $15, which is $5 off. This application just gets better every week. It really does. And finally, I want to thank my friends and the good folks over at Red River Paper, makers of the finest greeting card paper in the world. And I say that because I have not seen anyone else that has the selection, the variety, the quality, and the great pricing on fine art greeting card stock, along with the envelopes, along with the glassine sleeves, along with all that good stuff. I have these greeting cards laying around the studio. I've been doing a lot of tutoring lately. I've had a lot of meetings here, got a lot going on. People come over, they pick up those cards, and they absolutely love them. They absolutely love them. You should have them laying around your house, too. You should have them in storage for when you need that emergency gift. You should just get your work on paper so people can see it, enjoy it, and touch it. Go to Red River Paper. Stock up on some of this stuff. Use your inkjet printer. Make some art. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story, and they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. That's going to do it for me this week. I've been sitting on this one. I could not wait to share that conversation with Moose with you. I got some more great stuff coming down the pike. come back and join me next week. Thanks to everyone who signed up as a patron on Patreon. So appreciate it. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.